While the rest of the world is focused on that tragicomedy going on in Washington, this is Sundance 2020, the year we all hope to see clearly. The film seemed to cover the usual topics: women, the Middle East, visionaries versus cutthroats, black filmmakers and films, LGBTQ films, immigrants, young white professionals, of course, and their problems, and coming up fast around the far turn are the elderly. You know, old people. So make that coming around the far turn slowly but steadily, and the problems are fading away gracefully or fancifully or just plain meanly. It's a growing genre because a big generation is dying. Andrew Cohn's feature film, The Last Shift, in the premiere section, features a spot-on Richard Jenkins retiring 38 years to the day after he started the graveyard shift at Oscar's Fish and Chicken in Albion, Michigan. He's charged with training Javon, a young black man out of jail on probation, played by Shane Paul McGee with all the insouciance of a kid who recognizes a dead-end probation job when he sees one. As we watch the arc of their relationship and their brilliant interplay, the two trip over racial and generational fault lines and exit screen right and left as they are changed by each other forever, if imperfectly. And Then We Danced comes from Tbilisi. It's the work of young Swedish director Levon Akin of Georgian parentage. His parents left for Sweden in the Georgian diaspora around the fall of the USSR. A spotlight presentation, And Then We Danced is a story of mostly male dancers auditioning for the National Dance Company. Gay and feminine are where the generations of old and young Georgian men separate. It opens from Music Box Films this month. See it. Killing Eve head writer Emerald Fennell wrote and directed Promising Young Woman in the premiere section here. I really like this film. It updates Brian De Palma's Laws of Sexual Desire and Death genre of the 1970s and 80s. Fennell follows the quiet rampage of one Cassie Thomas, whose promising career as a pre-med student was derailed by the rape of her childhood friend. Played creepily by Carey Mulligan as a cross between Carey and Bruce the Shark, Cassie, at 30, starts her day at home with her clueless parents, heads to work as the least attentive barista in history in a cafe managed by her transgender boss — this is Sundance, after all — and finishes in bars as male bait by night. She keeps count of the nice guys who just want to help a drunk woman by taking her back to their place. She wants revenge.
Every week, I go to a club. I act like I'm too drunk to stand. And every week, a nice guy comes over to see if I'm okay.
You okay?
You are so pretty. I am a nice guy.
Are you?
Other Sundance titles you can expect to hear more about are Ed Sinoda's 9 Days, I'm at the Way Station, where candidates compete in job interviews conducted by a black civil servant functionary played by Winston Duke to be born and live a human life. Michael Almereyda's Tesla, a kind of tone poem and MTV experimental video about the brilliant Croatian visionary run off the edge of the world by Edison, Westinghouse, J.P. Morgan, and ultimately, of course, himself, though he outlives them all. Florian Zeller's The Father, set in London, in which Anthony Hopkins is a wildcat octogenarian, gradually understands his dementia. Sony Pictures Classics will release it later this year. Kirsten Johnson's Dick Johnson is Dead, a good film that pairs with The Father, documents her own father's slide into dementia while consenting to a star in his own funeral. It's from Netflix, and it's brilliant, by the way. Dream Horse, a fictionalized telling of the Welsh pub mates led by a barmaid played by Toni Collette, hilariously is about a group that raises a championship racehorse. It's based on a 2015 documentary, Dark Horse. It really happened. And finally, Palm Springs, young Max Barbico's feature film debut, imagines a wedding gone wild in the desert after wedding party guests Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti stumble into a time loop a la Groundhog Day and Being John Malkovich and figure out new ways for mayhem and score settling. The film set a record sale here, $17,500,069, to a combined partnership of Hulu and Neon, the distributor of I, Tonya a few years back, and the upcoming Portrait of a Lady on Fire in February. The previous record was $17,500,000 in 2016 for Birth of a Nation. Hal Barbeco settled on the 69-cent difference he leaves to the adolescent in you to figure out. And I'm Harlan Jacobson at Sundance. Back soon.